Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host.
As we are starting a new series, we'll learn deeply about evangelism, which is sharing the gospel. We have all kinds of excuses and questions about evangelism. In this pandemic time, we cannot meet people freely and easily. So how can we share the gospel with people then? Do you want to do street evangelism that you can preach to the multitude of people at Crabtree Mall? But nowhere is crowded like before. Everyone, nearly everyone is wearing masks, so you may not be able to be heard by people anymore. It is hard to do the door-to-door evangelism because people may not like you entering into their home due to their fear of virus. We have all kinds of stumbling blocks before us for evangelism this time. However, God's work cannot be hindered by any of them. We still can do the evangelism, and we should do that. We should do the missions for God's glory. Today, as the first time of looking into evangelism, I want us to look into Jesus' example to see how he did evangelism. In today's passage, we'll see what kind of people Jesus hung out with. What kind of people did he hang out? The short answer is sinners. There are two things we'll look at from today's passage. Jesus calls for the sinners, and Jesus came for the sinners. Let's read today's passage together. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Number one, Jesus calls the sinners. Let's read verses 9 through 10 again. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Now, first part, it says Jesus went on from there. Where is there? In the previous passage, it says Jesus healed the paralytic man and forgave his sins. Jesus was traveling through troubled places with troubled people. What trouble did the paralytic man have? First problem was sickness, his physical problem for sure. Now, second problem was his spiritual problem, his sins. Jesus healed both physical and spiritual problems. That itself is a huge miracle. Now, if you were Jesus Christ, would you go to another troubled place with another problematic people? You may want to say, "Well, this is enough for me today. I just want to go home and watch Saturday night TV just to chill out," right? You may not want to meet another physically weak and spiritually wicked people. Hanging out with sinners is not fun. But Jesus didn't care. He still moved on to the next place with the next sinner. His name was Matthew. Now, what kind of job did Matthew have? He was a tax collector. In the ancient Israel, tax collectors were despised and criticized. What's wrong with this tax collector? Isn't it a white-collar government job with a decent salary? Well, technically, yes. But among Jewish people, tax collectors were known as traitors who served the Roman Empire with tax money they collect. Rabbis did not even talk to tax collectors ever. Look at like a drug dealer who waits near a middle school to sell to children. That's pretty much the stigma. Tax collectors were the worst of the worst. They collected taxes from Rome for Rome and taxes for the oppression. Tax collectors were so notorious, they were banned from entering the temple for worship. Rome at this time auctioned off the rights to collect taxes, and the tax collector could collect whatever he wanted. As long as Rome got their share, they didn't care. So tax collectors would spike up the tax, and they became very wealthy off the backs of their own people. So the very wealthy would buy the rights to collect the taxes, then hire locals to do the collecting. there would be poll tax, bridge tax, income tax, property tax, harbor tax, wine tax, and on and on. In fact, in the Bible, tax collectors are often called sinner. When Jewish people back then called sinners with a few examples, and almost always tax collectors were part of the example with the prostitutes. If there is a survey on what kind of job you hate the most, tax collector must be one of top five. No one wants to be the tax collector, no one wants to be around tax collector. But Jesus was different. He came to this tax collector named Matthew. Imagine you were Jesus' disciple. You watch everything he does and everyone he meets. But today's meeting was very weird. He is visiting a tax booth and calling a tax collector to follow him. You may say, why? What? Is he calling the tax collector the shameful sinner as his disciple? I'm out of this group. What kind of group is he calling? He is calling the sinners. Jesus was not calling people who were in the palace. He was not even calling people from temple court. Isn't it weird that he did not call anyone to be his disciples among theological students at that time? If I lived in Jesus' time, I may not be one of his 12 disciples. Jesus is calling normal, very normal people, including this tax collector, to be his disciple. This is like he is calling a casino dealer as his disciple. Isn't it crazy? Now imagine that Jesus is coming to you and calling you now. You are in your own tax booth. People around you think what you do is wrong and even shameful. No one likes what you do. Everyone knows it, and even you know it, but you are doing it because you have to make earnings. Every day your tax booth is a shameful place that your children do not even want to talk about it, even with their friends. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes into your booth and he is calling you to follow him as his disciple. What would you do? Will you say, Jesus, you found the wrong person. Look at my job. I'm not doing a nice work here. People despise me for what I'm doing. I'm in shame. Maybe when I got a better job, holier job, then you can call me. Now, what did Matthew do? Look at what he did. He got up and followed him. Simple. He did not argue with Jesus. He did not even say a word. But his action speaks louder. He got up from where the tax booth was and followed Jesus. Now, this is not to say you have to change your job now. If it is a sinful job, you will need to quit. But if it's not, you may not have to. This is another subject to talk about more deeply later. But what I'm trying to say here is your response to follow Jesus needs to be immediate. Whether you stay in your job or not, you are to respond to Jesus right away. You cannot wait for another day. This is your day to make decision to follow Jesus. He's not coming to you in a perfect day. He's not coming to a perfect person, but he comes in his time, and he comes to sinners like Matthew, you, and me. How many of you have experienced like Matthew had? Did Jesus come into your life and call you to follow him? If yes, how did you respond to him? Did you say, yes, I'll follow you now, or are you still at your tax booth? If you have not heard from Jesus, ask him your prayer right now. Lord Jesus, please come to me and call me to follow you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. First thing Jesus did in this passage is to call for the sinners. Second thing Jesus did is Jesus came for the sinners. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Pharisees and religious leaders would never associate with sinners, while they are sinners themselves. They love to separate themselves from the crowd and elevate themselves over all the others and call themselves holier than thou. They want to be called different from others. However, Jesus came directly to the sinners. When the religious leaders saw Jesus hanging out with the sinners, they asked the question, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" They just could not understand. Eating with someone means identifying with the person. Now, it looks like Jesus was telling that he is the same kind of person as the sinner. In fact, Jesus did identify with sinner. The fact that Jesus died on the cross proves that. No true holy person dies and never on the cross. Dying on the cross is only for the cursed one and the most terrible sinner. But Jesus did die on the cross. What does that mean? He identified himself with the most terrible and cursed sinner like us. Jesus had no sin, but he took our sins. Jesus had no curse, but he received our curse. He identified with us on the cross, and he showed it even at the dinner table. He hung out and ate with sinners. We can see his intentionality to associate and identify with them. Can you do that? Can you eat with someone whom everyone else hates in school or workplaces? Everyone wants to eat with someone higher up. No one wants to eat with socially awkward, lonely, and abandoned people. But Jesus cares for them. Listen to Jesus. He said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick." Now, what a truth this is. There are two types of people who see doctors. One who wants to prove health, and the other one who is sick and needs to be treated. Now, if you are young and healthy, you probably go to your family clinic once a year just to prove how healthy you are. You are not so worried about your health, and all the mundane blood work is the only thing you need to do. You don't really care about what the doctor says to you. But when you are sick, you'll be all ears. You will pay attention to what the doctor says. Your attitude is different. Now, when Jesus was answering, he was talking about the sick person. Pharisees and religious leaders were more like the first kind of people who think that they are healthy and they want to prove how healthy they are. Jesus did not come for this kind of people. Jesus came for those who know they are sick and who are desperate for healing. One of the biggest problems these days is this. People do not know that they are sick. They think they're okay. They are watching porn and they think it is okay because they are not the only one watching it. They are practicing homosexuality, but they think they're okay because everyone has human right and they can exercise whatever they think it's right. But even the people in the church building think that they are good and safe. They are putting their own will over God's will and they think it's common sense and right thing to do. They are not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they think it's okay because they are not pastors or leaders in the church. They love TV, games, and money Monday through Saturday, and they love God on Sunday only, and they think it's okay because at least the one day a week they love God. Let me tell you, they are not okay. They are sick. They are terribly sick, and they need to be healed. Their sins need to be washed away. Let's examine our hearts. Are you truly okay? If you think yes, you're okay, you may have a problem. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in your heart. When he reveals it to you, humbly accept it and come to Jesus to be healed. But if you say, no, I'm not okay, there's a good news. Jesus came for you. Yes, he did not come for Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. He came for sinners like you and me. So now, please hear me. I'm not trying to promote sin here. Some people say, oh, Jesus came for the sinners. That means I can sin more to become really close friend to Jesus. No, never. Jesus came for sinners to save from sin and lead them to God, not to lead them to sin. Jesus is against sin. That's why he died too. He came for you to take you out from sin. You cannot get away from your sin by your power. So he came for you. You need to come to Jesus right now. Grab Jesus' bloody hand who shed his own blood for you. He is the only way for you to be forgiven. Verse 13 says, Jesus wants compassion, not sacrifice. What's the difference between compassion and sacrifice? Sacrifice is what you do for God, but compassion is what God does for you. Sacrifice is your performance before God, but compassion is God's heart for you. This is very important. Please know and understand this difference. This is a heaven and hell difference. This is the biggest difference between Christianity and the other religions. Other religions promote what you need to do for God and what you can perform before God to go to heaven. Even Catholics say they should believe in Jesus to be saved, yet you still need to do good works to be saved. It is half gospel. Half gospel is not the true gospel. True gospel is 100% grace of God who has compassion for you and who has performed salvation for you on the cross. His heart is the compassion for you, sinner. His performance is the cross for you, sinner. He did it all. If you think you are okay and doing well, you may think your performance is pretty good before God and your performance is the ticket to heaven. This is not the gospel. The gospel is that you are sick and you cannot perform before God. So God has compassion for you and He performed the cross to wash and save you from sin and ultimate sickness. This is why Jesus said He came for the sinner, not for the healthy. Now what you need to do is to receive His compassion for you and to come to Him with humble heart. He came to you not because you are a spiritual leader or a Pharisee, but He came to you because you are a tax collector, because you are Matthew in the tax booth, because you need Him, Jesus Christ, now. Now, how blessed we are because of this pandemic. Pandemic proves that we are not okay. The world we thought okay is not okay. Problems really opens our eyes to see the reality. When problems happen in your life, don't get discouraged too quickly. Patiently look at what God is doing through the problem. Maybe God is inviting you to see the real problem in you and be desperate for healing. That may be a painful experience, but that will lead you to meet Jesus, who came for the sinners. Do you want to meet Jesus? Do you want to meet Him now? Then recognize you are a sinner. You don't have to try to become more sinner to be visited by Jesus. You are already a serious, hell-deserving sinner. You may not like what I say, but it is what it is. So cry out to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, please come and save me. Help me, Lord. See Jesus visiting you today. Hear Jesus calling you today. He will call you and say, follow me. Question is, how would you respond to Him? Well, I thought my part is just to be desperate for healing and receive His compassion for me and get healing from Jesus. Yes, that's right. But that is not all. You need to do something more. What is it? It is to obey Jesus' calling for you. Follow me. You need to follow Jesus. How soon? Immediately again. Look at what Matthew did. When Jesus said, follow me to Matthew, what did Matthew do? He stood up and followed Jesus. How long did it take? 1 hour, 1 day, or 1 month? Today's passage doesn't say that, but in the context of Scripture, Matthew must have followed Jesus immediately. And that is what we need to do to follow Jesus. There was no detail for the future. There is no clear direction of what kind of life Matthew should live, but Jesus called him and he simply followed it immediately. We must do likewise. Jesus is calling you today, then you stand up and follow Him today. Do not wait nor hesitate. Matthew became one of 12 disciples. Jesus used His disciples amazingly, not only writing the book of Matthew, but God used him for the world evangelization. He was a mere tax collector who was hated by everyone, but he reached out everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a terrible sinner, but he became discipler. God can change you and use you likewise. Listen to Jesus' calling for you today and respond to Him immediately. In your own life and church life as well, listen to what God is saying to you. Obey Him now. At your home, at your workplace, walk with Jesus. Show Jesus' love for the sinners. Do not hang out with sinners around you for the fake fun of sin, but reach out to sinners for leading them to Jesus Christ. Rather than judgmental attitude, show compassion towards sinners around you and share the love of Christ for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this story about Matthew. Matthew was just a tax collector without hope, without anything expected from the people. But Father, we thank you that you visited him and called him as your disciple. Father, we thank you that you are calling us, even though we are terrible sinners, but you're still calling us as your disciples. Father, I pray for those who have not accepted your calling. I pray that their hearts would be open so that they can accept and they can come to you, they can follow you right away. And for those who are already disciples, I pray that they will be a disciple makers as well. They can go out to the sinners around them, and they can share the gospel with them, and they can lead other people, lead those sinners to you, and they can make disciples among them so that they will become disciples as well. So whoever tax collectors out there, Father, please help us to reach out to them and show your compassion to them so that they can come to know you. They can become Matthew. They can become your disciples. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name, we prayed. Amen.